Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name's Gavin Berry and I'm delighted to see you on this Monday morning. I'm joined by David McCarthy and Fraser Wilson. There's only one place to start. Late on Sunday night, the news came through that Michael Beale and coaching staff had their contracts terminated. Not even a year in the hot seat. Fraser, it all comes from that 3-1 defeat to Aberdeen on Saturday. You were at Ibrox. When you were in the press conference after it, did you think there would be any other outcome than Michael Beale losing his job?
I didn't. He seemed a broken man. You get a sense, don't you, from managers, how they conduct themselves when you know the pressure's reached tipping point. And not only did it take close to an hour to come into press conference, which is often telling, just his mannerisms, the fact he had a little dig at the fans for booing at half-time, which, to be honest, was perfectly within their rights. Just thought, this is a man that knows the writing's on the wall. It got pretty toxic in Ibrox for the second time in the space of a month. I wasn't at the Old Firm game, but I'm told it was even worse on Saturday. For the minute, I mean, they passed up five good opportunities before Aberdeen took the lead. So Rangers could have been out of sight, but the minute Aberdeen took the lead, Ibrox turned. So I think the writing was certainly in the wall for Michael Beale, and no surprise at all when the word came through last night that he'd been sacked.
Yeah, I mean, David, Fraser mentions the defeat to Celtic. Do you think the board should have acted then? Did you think there was any way back, or were they right to just sort of, because there was always this feeling that it was just stumbling on and it was like the next one. Do you think they were doing better just acting after the Celtic game?
I think in hindsight, they would have been. But at the same time, you know, they have heavily invested in Beale and in his recruitment process. And they were clearly thinking, we'll have to give him a chance to try and get it right. And, you know, it became painfully obvious very early on that some of the guys that he's brought in fact, probably most of them, you could probably give, obviously you could give Butland a pass, but other than that, you know, there's not too many of them that he's brought in and spent an awful lot of money on that have absolutely convinced you that they're better than the players that he allowed to leave the door, to leave the building. So I think it was on the cards. They probably have left it a little bit too late. I was at the game against Motherwell, and it's an awful long time, Gav. In fact, I can't even remember the last time that Rangers were booed off the park after winning a game. And it was completely and utterly justified because, you know, Michael came out after the Livingston game and said, you know, that he felt that the criticism and said people saying that Motherwell, the better team, was out of order. But fact of the matter is, Motherwell were the better team that day. Motherwell should have beat Rangers, not even get a point. And the fans know it. The fans are no daft, you know. They're not going to have the wool pulled over their eyes. They could see that this is a team that's gone nowhere fast. And the big problem is that whoever comes in is going to inherit that squad.
That's what I was just... I was funny enough, I mean, we're running a live blog on the sort of next manager hunt and also Michael Beale being sacked. And that when you count all that up, I mean, they had to pay, I think, 1.2 million compensation to QPR to get him. You know, they signed contracts until 2026, and you pay off him and all the coaching staff. And as you mentioned, there's about £18 million. And I know the net spend is much lower, but it's about £18 million in transfer fees for players that he wanted in. You bring a new guy in, and then, I mean, so soon into the season, you're going to have to do it all again.
Yeah, you know, I do feel a little bit of sympathy in the regard that he's had so many injuries, and I know people say injuries are no excuse, but the bottom line is that Aberdeen game at the weekend, you know, Raskan would have played, Cantwell would have played, Lawrence would have played, Roof would have played. You know, but these are guys that have also been in the door since, you know, in Cantwell and Rathgram since January. You know, but the guys I've just mentioned there are not the guys that brought in this summer. And the reason why they would have played is because they're better than the guys they did bring in this summer.
Yes.
And he's basically, you know, that's a hill upon which he's died, because his recruitment has been well below par.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, where has it gone wrong? The irony is that when he came in last season, you know, he did so much better. You know, there was potential there with the players that were already there. Obviously, he knew some of them from having worked with Steven Gerrard first time around, but the signs were actually promising, and it was almost a case of just wait until he gets his own players. But in actual fact, that's where he's gone wrong. Getting his own players in, he's done worse.
There's always a manager's first interview when they take a job. There's always a soundbite that sticks in my mind. And with Michael Beale, it was that this squad isn't broken when he took over Rangers 11 months ago. And to be fair, he got off to a good start with that squad of players. But looking 11 months on, he's gone and broken it. Not only by losing some key members of that team from last season, he's replaced them with, as you've rightly pointed out, players that are not of the same calibre. And Davey makes a very good point about the injuries. Tom Lawrence, one of the best players at Ibrox, would have started on Saturday. But the front three, they were all his signings for this summer. Yeah. And to be honest, they lost Rangers the game because once again, they just weren't good enough.
Yeah.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah. And I think the problem has been, and I think even, I know pre-season you can't, you know, you can make the mistake of judging, you know, in pre-season. We've seen it before with new players. But even as early as pre-season, I mean, I think the night of that Olympiacos friendly, I mean, even the Newcastle game, albeit Newcastle, you know, had Tonali and all that, and they, you know, a very good Premier League team. But you couldn't really see anything even that early on, you know, and it got steadily worse right up until then, that opening game against Kilmarnock when they lose. And there was just never any sign. So even when you do have sort of injured players, you can still have a sort of structure and you can, you know, you can see signs, but there was just never any signs of anything.
No, there wasn't. There doesn't appear to be a great deal of identity about the Rangers team at the moment, about how they play. And it's a strange one, because when Beale was the head coach to Steven Gerrard, they played obviously with a main striker, whether it be Morelos or whoever, and two number 10s, which would be Ken and somebody else playing the two number 10 positions. And they allowed Barisic and Tavernier obviously to get down the sides to provide the width. This time round, he's been hanging his hat on Rabi Matonda, who is an out-and-out winger. So it's a completely different kind of system that he seemed to be favouring. And that was also then stopping Barisic figuring down the left, because Matonda was standing in front of him all the time. So you were actually taking out, I think, their most potent attacking weapons, which were the two fullbacks, just because of the way that he'd set up. And, you know, there would be games where Matonda wouldn't play, and so they would get back to the two number 10s. And there just didn't seem to be any kind of uniformity about it. It was chopping and changing from one match to the next. And, you know, going back to the recruitment, it's not even just the players that he brought in, it's the players that he's allowed out the door. Even there's two boys on loan just now, Lurie and Hadji, who are better than the players that are occupying the positions that they would play. And it just didn't seem to make an awful lot of sense.
No, and there just seems now, David, to be a general feeling that this is just Michael Beale is a guy who was not ready for the Rangers job. I mean, some people did make the point at the time. I mean, he'd only had a handful of games as a manager in his own right. That, you know, and some people who were against the appointment said that doesn't qualify you to be the Rangers manager. So before we go into, you know, actual individuals, What type of person should be the next Rangers manager? If we're saying Michael Beale was too much of a rookie, what do they need?
Rangers need to think outside the box now and get their Ange Postecoglou. We've gone round the houses with the names that we know, predictable appointments. Rangers need to go and get somebody that knows a different market, that's going to get the recruitment spot on, because that's where they've failed spectacularly. It's an incredible failure, the recruitment in the last 3 or 4 months. So they need to go and get somebody that can revolutionise this squad in the next window, basically, and get the ship steering back in the right direction, because right now they're absolutely sinking. And every managerial appointment has to be right, but Rangers really, really, really need to get this one right, because they're going backwards at a rate of knots.
Yeah. David, do you think experience, do you think they need somebody more experienced? I mean, was Michael Beale sort of just too much of a rookie? Did they need somebody with more experience and more of a presence?
Look, hindsight is a great and a terrible thing at the same time, because I think a lot of the Rangers fans, probably the majority, were happy enough when Beale came in, despite the fact he only had 19 games of QPR under his belt. I think that they believed that he was the brains behind the Gerrard operation. I don't think too many of them will be that sure that that is indeed the case. He also took on far more than he could chew when Ross Wilson left, because he then took it upon himself to be head of recruitment as well, didn't he? So. So maybe there's a bit of ego at play there as well. I understand what Fraser said a minute ago. However, the big problem is going to be bringing in, not so much bringing in players, but you've got a whole pile of players there who don't seem to be good enough, who are on 3- and 4- and 5-year contracts. And they will be on very good money, because the likes of your Danilos and Dessers have not come to Ibrox for $5,000 a week. So you're absolutely up against it there. Actually getting rid of these players if they're deemed in the long term not to be good enough. And right now, none of them look as if they're good enough. So a new manager coming in has got that to deal with as well. He's got a squad of players there who will be looking around and thinking, I'm not going to get paid as much going somewhere else, so why should I leave? To go back to your original point, they need somebody that's been round the block. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Does it need to be somebody that has extensive knowledge of Scottish football? No, necessarily. I think they do have to cast their net, and I know that we'll talk about candidates. Kevin Muscat's one that's getting a lot of traction just now. I don't know whether that is because Ange Postecoglou was such a success in Scottish football, and obviously Muscat's going down the same road, as in, Yokohama Mariners. And doing well there. I think they're second at the moment in the league this season, getting into the last few games. So, he might be a possibility. Somebody of that ilk could be a possibility, but the fact is they need to get it right, and they cannot afford to take a punt on another rookie manager.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, the sort of Hollywood name in the frame and high up in the bookies list was Graham Potter, English Premier League experience. But we hear that he is not interested in it. Sources in his camp told us that he isn't interested. Did you always think that one was going to be ambitious, either of you?
Didn't fancy Graham Potter to fancy this job at all, no. I think he's got higher ambitions than coming up to Scottish football.
Yeah.
He'll be looking at the English market, I think, where he's succeeded before, and just biding his time for the right moment. Just on what David said there, they do need somebody with a proven track record. One name that always jumps out for me, and he's been linked to other jobs in Scottish football, was Shetil Knutson, because you can't ignore the job he's done at Bodo Glimt. So he's got a record there of making successful signings, but also making a success of his team and winning titles and basically turning a team that were little heard of into kind of a proper European side now that have taken big scalps. But no, for Graham Potter, not for me, no.
No. Now, one guy who's turned the job down before, and his name is always mentioned when the job comes up, is Derek McInnes. But it just seems to be one that fans will not accept. David, is that are they being unfair when you consider the? I know you're saying that the next manager doesn't necessarily need to have experience of Scottish football, but he's one man who certainly does. You know, he had success and longevity at Aberdeen. He's already beaten Rangers and Celtic this season with Kilmarnock. Why do you think Rangers fans would accept him? And if not, are they wrong not to consider him?
I think that Derek McInnes is a really, really good manager and he would do a fine job at Ibrox. I just think that the board won't go down that route because of what they believe would be the fans' pushback against it. I think that the supporters think that Derek had his chance and refused to take it, and there won't be any going back there. I don't think Rangers will go down the Derek McInnes route. That's not to say that they shouldn't, but I just don't think that they'll do that. I think that they will look for somebody out with Scottish football. I think the big problem that they've got, though, inside the Rangers boardroom is that they've got nobody that's been through the recruitment process of bringing in a new manager before, really, because the last time round, it was Stuart Robertson and Ross Wilson were leading that process, and they were the ones that were going to London and trying to sell the club to various managers before they went for perhaps ultimately the easy option, and they knew that Beale was popular with the support because of his Gerrard legacy, and they went that down that route. But you know, there is no Ross Wilson now, there is no Stuart Robertson. You know, so the guys that are there, like Bisgrove and Bennett, you know, Bennett's obviously a hugely successful businessman, but in terms of actually going out and recruiting a manager, there's nobody at the top of that marble staircase at the minute who have got any kind of experience of doing that, and that's quite a worry.
Yeah, well, that takes me to my next point, David, because I mean, earlier this season there was talk of Graham Souness returning. That he had discussions with James Bisgrove, but they couldn't really agree in terms of the actual role. It seemed that Graham Souness wanted more involvement in the football, you know, and like maybe others viewed him just as a kind of ambassadorial role. Do you think somebody like him, or in fact specifically him, do you think, David, is that something that could be revived? Do you think he could offer something in the football sense, whether it's a kind of sort of, I mean, he made the point himself that I think he used the example of Chelsea. Todd Boehly at Chelsea didn't really have anybody like that at the club. Do you think Souness could have something to offer?
Well, I think he could. I don't think that they'll go down that route. I think if they were going to go down that route, they would have reached out to him last night and put him in the position that Alec Gray and Stephen Davis are now in on a kind of interim basis. They've obviously decided not to do that. They've gone for Ray and Davis, which is fair enough. It's their prerogative. But I think if they were looking at Graham Souness, that would have been the time to do that. Basically say to him, look, take us for the next 2 or 3 weeks or take us to the end of the season or whatever, in the knowledge that it's not going to be a long-term thing. I mean, you know, Graham, you know, remarkably, I think is like 70 years old now or something like that. Yeah. He's, you know, and I know people will turn around and say, you know, down south that there are managers who are older than that who are still doing the business, like Hodgson, who went to Old Trafford at the weekend and won. But I don't think that they will go down that route. It would have been an interesting few months if they had done, but I don't think that they'll revisit the Graham Souness situation, to be honest.
He's not managed for 17 years. I think Newcastle United was his last job. Fraser, in the short term, as David said, they have gone for Stephen Davis and Alex Ray. So they have two games before the international break. That's the key now, I suppose, is just getting to that international break. Limassol away on Thursday, and then St Mirren, actually, Alec Ray's old club, on Sunday. What are the expectations, do you think, then, for these two games, just to really get the squad together, get two wins, and then stop and take a breather, the whole club?
well, absolute minimum has to be two wins, doesn't it? I was speaking to a couple of Rangers fans last night and they said it can't get any worse when I asked them what they thought of Stephen Davis and Alec Ray. Well, my argument for that was it could, because you could get dumped out of the League Cup. You could lose to St Mirren. You could have a very bad loss in Cyprus, which would put their Europa League progression under threat. So they need to win these next two games to get Premiership points on board before the international break and to really get a foothold in that Europa League group. I think Stephen Davis is really interesting because we've always heard how much a leader he was as a player, both for Rangers and Northern Ireland. Always thought, and from speaking to a few players, he was one of those proper captains that led by example through his actions rather than being the screamer or maybe your old-fashioned Graham Souness type. That would have folk by the throat in the dressing room if required. So whether he can become that man in the dressing room that can forcibly get his thoughts across, his ideas across verbally, that's what interests me. That's what always interests me when new managers come to the fore. I'm sure he'll have a respect to the dressing room, that's for sure. And then Alec Ray by his side, maybe he'll be the bad cop and the good cop, bad cop routine. I don't know, but it's certainly going to be a very interesting time. I think Stephen Davis deserves a shot. He deserves the respect. And I'm just really interested to see how he gets on in the next 5 days or whatever it is.
It's funny, David, because when Stephen Davis was had that injury and Michael Beale was talking about Davis, he was talking about his potential of being a coach and how it's good to keep him at the club. And he says, you know, how good would it be to have a future Rangers manager at the club? Well, did he know that 10 months later he'd be the manager and it wouldn't be Michael Beale? But it's funny how these things work. But, I mean, Fraser's right. He certainly, from the dealings that even we've had with him and from what players say about him, he certainly has that kind of potential, doesn't he, to go into coaching or management. But how long do you think the club will wait? How quickly do you think they need to make an appointment? Because a 7-point gap, you know, if it becomes 10 or it becomes, you know, the season could completely unravel here. So there's still a lot of pressure on, you know, whoever it is in that dugout to make sure that the season doesn't completely collapse.
No, absolutely. There are only 7 games gone. Rangers' problem is that Celtic, while not playing at their best, are still continuing to rack up the wins, and like, they won't drop too many points. So, you know, Rangers need to keep winning during this period. The fact that they've got a couple of weeks international break is vital, obviously, because it'll give them a chance to reset. And like, while the players might get a bit of a break, you know, the directors and the people who are leading the recruitment process surely will be working their backsides off to make sure that by the time the ball starts rolling again at the end of the international break, there's a new manager in. What they have got in Davis is calmness. You know, he won't panic. He's a very kind of methodical guy. You know, by all accounts, pretty good coach. However, that's obviously why Alec Ray has been brought in, because, you know, I think there's a kind of perception of Alec that's, because of the kind of player he was, that he would smash people in the middle of the park and stuff like that. Alec Ray's a very, very good coach. He's got all his badges. He's everywhere that Paul Ince has gone in England. Yeah. His first phone call is to Alec Ray to say, come and help me here. Alec is not a mug. You know, I think that he will do a really good job there. But it always goes back to the tools that you have to work with. And that's the problem. Are they going to get a tune out of Lammers and Dessers, etc.? Because there's nobody else to replace them at the minute just because of the injury list, as we touched on earlier. So it's an absolutely mammoth job for them. And to be honest with you, the game on Thursday night, yeah, it would be great if they got a result. The big one is Saturday. For me, it's Sunday. You know, they have to somehow go to a very, very good St Mirren side that are flying. Yeah. And, you know, a draw's not even enough because they're already 7 behind. Yeah. So they have to somehow find a way of winning that game. And, you know, the evidence in front of you would suggest that that's going to be really difficult for them.
Yeah. In fact, there's another name we can just throw in there. I mean, Stephen Robinson, there must be a few touting him, given the start that he's had with St Mirren and previous, and you know, success elsewhere that he's had at Motherwell. Is that, would that be the biggest shock? Or
I think that would be a shock, and that's no any disrespect at all to Stephen. I think he would also say it would be a shock, but he's got a really impressive body of work, Stephen Robinson, both at Motherwell and at St Mirren. I just think that they will go for, that they'll cast their net a little further than the current Premiership.
Okay, so maybe not.
It's a better appointment than Michael Beale was, I would say that. Yeah. He's got the track record in the Scottish Premiership to prove it. But as David says, I think Rangers fans will be expecting a bigger name appointment, which, and I don't mean that in any bad way towards Stephen Robinson, because he's a fantastic manager.
So maybe not up to the job of managing Rangers, but certainly up to the job of causing them problems on Sunday.
Absolutely. I never said there's no... By the way, I would love
to see.
I think he might be, but I just think the Rangers fans would demand somebody with a bigger background, a bigger name.
Because I think, Gav, there are a number of managers kicking about Scottish football just now, I think, that would be capable of getting in and doing a job. But for how long and how sustainable would that be? Because so many people have found in the past, it's not just about, you know, it's not just another football club that, you know, it's Rangers and Celtic are very, very similar in that respect, that there's so much associated with it. It's more than just putting 11 players on the pitch. And and so many people have looked like really, really good managers elsewhere and come into these clubs and found it a completely different ball game. And that's why it's so difficult to find the right man for the job. And I just think that they will try and go for somebody that's maybe not worked in this environment before, and we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, because let's be honest, if they're going to look close to home, then Derek McInnes is as good as you're likely to get. He knows the club, and he managed Aberdeen, so you know, you're not going to go for Robinson really over McInnes, are you? But if you choose to go down that road, it's Derek McInnes. But we think that they'll probably look a bit further. Okay, well, guys, listen, thanks a lot for joining. We'll see how it goes in Cyprus on Thursday and then Paisley on Sunday before that international break. Thanks very much for your time, both of you.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.